that, those are Midway City standards and what Midway would require based on their ordinance.
I will make one note on that, and that's regarding the restaurant requirements. So that's a note number one. And from at least my calculations, it looks like the standard Paula uses slightly higher than what our standard is. And so I think it covers both bases. And so this shows the overall number of stalls that would be required. And so this comes out to 680, if I remember correctly. Using the calculations that are accepted, there is a reduction based off of multiple uses using one stall. And so what that comes down to is a requirement of 302. And that's if this study is accepted. And there are 340 stalls provided on site. Subtracting the valet stalls, it actually equals about 304. So if we did accept the parking study, they would have enough stalls and they would have extra parking with the valet stalls, is what it comes down to. So going through those five items, and we'll come back to...
Can you just go back to that parking slide? Okay, there is staff parking.
What are the valet stalls you're referring to?
Valet.
Oh, the valet parking.
I thought maybe that was going to be the spot.
Gotcha.
Stalls to valet?
Okay, gotcha.
So property-wise, it's one thing we look at. We have site plans. It looks like it meets our code for setbacks. Again, these are very preliminary drawings. Once we go through preliminary and final, we'll have very specific drawings for each of the different phases. But generally, it looks like regarding property, we are meeting the requirements. Water rights, the applicant has gone before the water board for a very preliminary review of the water requirements. So this is a chart that shows those different uses and buildings and how much water is required, along with the outside irrigation. And this has actually changed slightly since it went before the water board. But again, we were just looking at a very, we're looking at a close, but again, rough estimate of what the water requirements are going to be. So for each phase, we're going to have an exact water requirement. So they'll need to go back to the water board either one time or multiple times to break this down into phases. And with each phase that's dedicated, those water rights will be tendered to the city. Through the master plan process, before the master plan agreement is signed, all the water rights are required at this stage in the process will need to be held in escrow. But the water is not dedicated to the city until the actual, just before the plat is recorded per phase. So we do have a total right now of 114.87 acre feet. That would be the number that's needed to be placed in escrow before the master plan agreement is signed. As for roads, so we're looking at access and circulation. We do require 2 points of access for this project. We have an access point from the south, from 600 North. And we do have an access point from Bergie Lane from the north. It's anticipated that the majority of the traffic will come in from the north, but both access points will be accessible to the public and to the guests. And so this traffic circulation plan that we have right now does appear to meet the access requirements. We do have to work on specifics on the width of the roads, making sure that we have fire access for the buildings. And so we'll look at that as we move forward in the process.
Hey, Michael, is that north access? How does that line up with, say, Interlochen Drive or?
Yeah, it's a four-way intersection.
Oh, okay.
Is that going to be turned into a rotary?
A roundabout?
A roundabout.
We haven't planned on that at this point in time being a roundabout. Yeah, I think that was your question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, one thing I haven't talked about is the trails. There is a master, plan for our trails. There will be a public trail from 6 North to Bigville as part of the development that will come through this open space area and then all the way up and connect to Bergie Lane to our trail system on the north. We also have a trail that's planned across east to west from the resort court to River Road. And as part of the Rural Preservation Subdivision, there was an easement obtained from Lacey Lane for a public trail. And then Chuck Heath was the developer of the trail and for a fence that's been deposited with the city. So we do have those funds already for that trail. And that will benefit the community greatly by having those different trail connections, especially having trails that are farther away from the roads. We don't have a lot of trails that are away from the roads, so this is a great opportunity to have some nice trails in the center of the valley, or in the center of the city.
Has it been addressed at all how we're thinking to continue it from that south side over to 6 north?
From the south side?
Of the trail, so that how the trail is going to continue in that section. So
from here to here?
Yeah, has that been thought about, how that's going to be obtained?
Yeah, so I know Wes has been on site with one of the property owners in that area. We also met with the property owner on the corner. He showed up to our on-site visit. We talked a little bit about the trail. The idea right now is that the trail will be located on the east side of the road. We do have a 20-foot easement across, I think it's lot number 2 in the Rural Preservation Subdivision owned by the Lawleys. But we think there's enough room that we won't have to really encroach into that easement area. It's actually quite a right of way for us to use. We do have some power poles in the area that we need to think about how we're gonna, how that will work. I think most likely those poles will be buried as part of this project. But we have thought about that.
So do we have the easement then from this site all the way to 6 north?
So we have right of way all the way through, and then across the lot for the rural preservation, we have a 20-foot trail easement.
Okay. So it's intended to be either within the right of way or that easement in that first section, and the other section we're thinking we'll do it in the right of way.
Yeah, down
is that
here,
correct?
At the very corner of 6 north, there's a plat of subdivision on the right hand side of the road. It's a 2-lot subdivision. There's not a trail easement across those lots. That happened 20 years ago. And so we would need to be in the right of way there unless the property owner dedicated an easement to us, which probably isn't likely.
So is the funding of that been discussed?
The plan right now is that it would be built as part of the development. That all of it's within the development, within the Mountain Spire, except that bottom stretch, which is probably less than 200 feet, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And so we anticipate that being built as part of the overall project.
Okay, that's not a condition or anything that at this point, or necessarily what they're saying they're going to do, but that's something that we could do.
It is an off-site trail because it's not within the development. The area for the Mountain Spa, yeah, that's within the Mountain Spa property, so that would need to be built. This area just off of 6 North, we have a couple hundred feet or so that's not. We'd want to work with the developer to make sure that trail happens. In a worst case scenario, we would build a trail right away.
Okay. But as far as the funding of that, in other areas, when it's created an impact like this in a whole, we've had the developer do that. In that case, at least the funding of it, right?
Improvement. Now you're getting into the technicalities of it. We're restricted on how much we can do there.
Okay.
You can always credit their trail impact fees for building that.
There are things we can do, that is correct. So we'll work with.
There's other areas we can work on as well.
Yeah.
We want them to work.
Okay. I mean, you'll want them to connect, I imagine, anyways, because you'll want to connect to the rest of the trail system. So, okay. Thank you.
This trail will connect all the way up to Interlock Drive. We'll have a connection all the way to River Road and stuff. There are trails within the development that aren't required to be public. There has been talk that those will be open to the public, and we'll have to solidify that in the agreement. Sensitive lands protection. So this is our sensitive lands map. The area that we're talking about is up in this area. This is specific to geological and hydrological features. And so we do have those features on the Mountain Spa property. And that's the reason why we went and visited the site a month ago with the city council, was to take a look at this area. So we have the yellow area, which is a minor geologic area, and then the red is the major geologic area. The yellow area is developable as long as there's not any pop rock outcroppings above 3 feet in height. And there are a number of those in this yellow area that will need to be protected. The red area is determined to not be developed because of being a major geologic feature. But we're unsure of how accurate this map is. That's why we had the on-site visit a month ago to take a look. so this map was generated based off of information from previous site studies, and we required this as part of our site study. So you can see how everything overlays. The main core of the resort has really been built on some of this red area, which some of that looks like it probably is buildable. There's some areas that aren't included in the red area that probably should be preserved. So one thing that I think, at least with my experience on talking to everybody on site, there were a couple of outcroppings on the north side that weren't in the red area that should be preserved. So there's been kind of a red line drawn around that, preserving those areas. But there are some areas of red that really didn't look like they were necessarily major geologic features. It was kind of an area with soil with some vegetation on top of it that covered this area. So the idea is that the flags that were out on site were probably more accurate than what our map showed. And so that's one thing that needs to be decided as we go through this process, is if what really needs to be protected is located within this red line, or if it's actually this full red area. If it's within the red line, there are some outcroppings that would be protected with this modification to that interpretation of that map. So just to explain which these lines are, and Paul, help me if I'm wrong, I think the red is what the Planning Commission from 2007 determined to be sensitive lands for
the
City Council.
No, that's the purple line.
The purple is what the Planning Commission
determined. And that's what was staked on our field trip.
And then the red is what the City Council had determined, and some of those areas are areas that look like they should be preserved on the north side.
This is the City Council, the current City Council?
Or 2008 City Council.
Okay.
Yeah, in 2008 there was a large resort approved on the property, and so they lend off of not the red locked out area, but the actual, I think they ended up with the purple line, is that correct?
Who?
The final approval for the resort back in 2007.
It's just like we've shown it here. The Planning Commission is the purple, the City Council is the red.
And then the resort that was approved didn't encroach in the purple area, is that correct?
Or the
didn't encroach in the purple area. They used the purple area too. I'd have to go back and read the master plan agreement. I think it may have been both.
So it may have been both, but it wasn't the full red area.
It wasn't the red. Wasn't, no, it didn't match the city maps.
Yeah, it seems to me that this area here with its kind of hollowed out, that would be an area that we'd want to be very careful in that spot. There's nothing planned with this proposal on top of that area.
What are the purple circles on the...
They're different hot spots around the property that are over 3 feet in height, so we've protected those.
Well, it looks like there's a building planned on the... Yeah, right there.
This is an older plan. I didn't get the architect's plan.
We moved the building, so none of them are...
Oh.
If you go back to the site plan from the architect...
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so this plan has been adjusted.
Okay.
So that's something that needs to be considered as we look at the master plan, is what lines are going to be used as the sensitive lands delineation. And then open space. As I mentioned before, there's a 55% requirement. Areas that are 100 feet wide count as open space. These areas count because between the building and the property, we have over 100 feet, but the actual hard surface per the code doesn't count. And so there are some smaller areas because the overall width is 100 feet that count as the 55% open space. And this does extend off this map up to Berkey Lane.
So swimming pools count as open space?
Amenities in the
resort zones they do because it's an amenity.
Okay.
Yeah, so pavilions can, clubhouses can, campus open space in the resort.
Okay.
So items discussion, and we've gone over these in the past. These numbers have changed since our last meeting. We've actually reduced is what has happened. We actually ended up with more hotel rooms or bedrooms than in the previous review last month. The overall square footage dropped a bit, but we are within the memorandum of